Greetings, saints. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for your kindness to us and your grace to us in drawing us unto your Son. Thank you for sanctifying a body prepared to start this wonderful revival that's coming. Thank you for the Red Sea to take down the enemies of everything that's good and right and to deliver us from our enemies. And we thank you so much, Father, for this goodness and this understanding that you're giving us too. It's encouraging. God bless you. Thank you. All right, saints. Let's take a look at this. God is so good, isn't he? We're going to talk about, I think we're going to continue with what we were talking about. Cyrus at the Red Sea. Which to first thought doesn't really match, but according to scriptures it does. And first I'm going to talk about character assassination of the man, child, and Trump. Deb Horton had this revelation on 6/26/17, and I'm going to share it with you. We were in a room in my old elementary school, John Greenleaf Whittier, in Washington, D.C., and I was sitting across from David, representing the Davids, I believe. It's a play on words, I believe. John means Yahweh is gracious. Without that, we are nothing. Greenleaf, which I believe represents photosynthesis, green leaves taking in the sun, S-O-N, and giving off water, which they do, representing the word, and giving off oxygen, which they do, representing our breath, the same word for spirit in the scriptures, as in the words of the Holy Spirit, which we should be learning to speak, right? And it takes green leaves to bear fruit, right? I believe D.C. here represents the government over the church in two forms, Trump and the man-child. Whittier's early works, such as Voices of Freedom in 1846, reflect his war against slavery. In other words, to set the black man free. The black man, of course, is those in sin and walking in darkness. But it's to set them free. That's what he did. And, of course, this is the war of the man-child, the war of Trump. It's our job to deliver the brethren from slavery to sin, the devil, and the world, right? Amen. So that kind of sets the background of everything in this revelation. We were really too big for the little desks and chairs. David was very scarred from being in a fire. I knew the fire had been set by his enemies to try to kill him. And Deb said there's an idiom, scarred for life. Yes, that's true. The one line from a poem that the school had posted at the entryway of by John Greenleaf Whittier is, quote, "Blessings on thee, little man." That's the word in Esther for the man-child, Mordecai. "Blessings on thee, little man, barefoot boy with cheeks of tan, skin burned by the sun." Yeah, in other words, the fire of the sun burning up the wood, hay, and stubble of the man-child ministry. Amen. And he's using, of course, the wicked to do that, just as he used the wicked to crucify Jesus, the man-child, right? In Song of Solomon 1:6, it says, Look not upon me because I am swarthy, because the sun has scorched me. Now this is speaking of the bride, of which, by the way, the man-child is the head of. Just as he, David was the head of Jerusalem, which is the bride, right? My mother's sons were incensed against me. Well, that certainly fits, doesn't it? Yes. Our own brethren have come against us and crucified us and come against the word and been taken captive by Satan as vessels of dishonor to bring this to pass. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. So this represents the ongoing fiery trial of the factious railing against the David man-child company, the way their spiritual fathers did Jesus, the man-child. Jesus was unrecognizable from his crucifixion, just as the man-child is unrecognizable from the slander that is spoken about him by the faction. Both he and President Trump bear no resemblance to what the faction says about them with their character assassination. And it is an assassination. It's very interesting what's going on out there in the world, the physical reflecting the spiritual that we've known about for a long time. It's an awesome thing that's going on. I believe that the world is taking notice that somebody is on Trump's side and somebody is on the man-child David's side. I believe that this is becoming a wonderful revelation and testimony of the power of God to confirm those who are his. Deb said the fire had completely burned off David's ears. However, David could still hear perfectly well. And she said there's an idiom to make somebody's ears burn, meaning people were talking about someone, as in slander attacks of the factious against David. And their ears would be burning, right? It's neat the way the Lord puts things together like that. It's just hidden a little bit. If you just meditate on it a little bit, the Lord will open it up to you, right? And we thank you for doing that, Father. There's probably a lot more that I haven't seen, and many of you out there may be seeing different things too, you know. It's good. And this is, of course, representing the David's losing ears of the flesh in the fiery trial and receiving spiritual hearing. Because when it was spoken about in the scriptures concerning Solomon, in one place it speaks about him receiving hearing and another wisdom. So when you put them together, you can see that that's what it represents. It's called by God wisdom, hearing. That's hearing God, right? And that's the gift that he gave to Solomon. He didn't have a brain all swole up with all kinds of knowledge and understanding. He just heard answers from the Lord. It's called a word of wisdom, right? And Deb made the point that earrings symbolize bondage. David no longer had fleshly ears and could no longer wear earrings, meaning he cannot be held in bondage. Jesus and the man-child, by the word and by the spirit, will have supernatural hearing from the Father. This is described in Isaiah 11 and 1. Even though many don't recognize this as being spoken of Jesus in the man-child, it is. In fact, I had a brother one time contacted me and said that I was quoting to him this verse, and he said, in the dream, he said, I know that person, and that he was talking about me. And, of course, I'm a representation used in these dreams because my name is David, because I'm a leader of unleavened bread, which Jesus was. So he's using me as a type, right? Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. There it is. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. See, many people walk by sight, and they walk by natural hearing, you know. But we need to hear the Lord. And just as Jesus did those things that he heard, or said those things that he heard of his Father, he didn't pay a lot of attention to what he heard with his natural ears. And I believe the fiery trials do that for a person. They cause them to begin to hear from the Lord. Because first of all, they have the fear of the Lord. And second of all, natural hearing and natural seeing are very good for the natural man, but they don't do much for the spiritual man to let be known what's coming from God, you know. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, or the spirit of his lips, shall he slay the wicked. Yes, indeed, the Lord is coming this time as a lion. He's dwelling in a body that is the spiritual Son of David, just as before. Everything that was natural in the parable has now become spiritual, which is normal. And judgment is going to come forth against, well, for instance, David conquered the Edomites, who are slandering both Trump and David. And so this conquering is coming. But the job has to be done first, and that's the crucifixion, right? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But there is a great deliverance coming. As you know, Jesus' ministry set the captives free. Isaiah 61, right? He opened the prison, and he let the captives go free. And so there are many people in bondage to many, many different things, and this ministry is going to set them free. Oh, yes, we've had limited success in these days, but nothing like the latter rain is going to do. And we've got to be close. Oh, thank you, Father. And Deb went on to say, we were waiting for the others to arrive, but no one else came during the course of the dream. And, of course, this could indicate timing. Before the multitudes are gathered to the man-child David's at the Red Sea and to enter into the wilderness tribulation. So, I mean, this is what this is beginning with here. It's starting out before that time. I'm firmly convinced we've been in the Red Sea since the election. Since Trump was ordained to lead America out of bondage to these satanic leftists, pedophiles, on and on and on. What their sins are will probably completely never be known, but it's just astounding, you know. So he's been anointed, and of course the man-child is anointed on the spiritual side for the church. And there's a parallel, as we've received revelations in the past. There's a parallel. And the multitudes come whenever the man, child, and the trump are prepared, you know. They will rise up. And we've been seeing the Red Sea take down the leftists, take down their media, take down, down, down. And I believe we're getting closer and closer to the end of this. Then something really loud started up, like maybe the air conditioning. Possibly a big man made distraction, a man-made distraction, changing things from hot to cold, which is a type of tribulation. You know, winter is like tribulation, according to Matthew 24. So, and this could be also like a collapsing economy because of the rest of this paragraph here. This big man-made distraction is something that I believe they want to use against Trump, and but it will fail. And Deb said about this, a rush of cold air from the financial bubble bursting. Yeah, could be. She went on to say, David had to shout to be heard, even though we were sitting so close. I only recall two specific things about our conversation. First, David was upset with someone or some people, I believe it's some people, who wouldn't come out of the world, and since they wouldn't do that, he said, or he complained, that they should at least use the opportunity of the system to make a lot of money while they still could, in order to help as many people as they could. Well, that's very interesting. I believe you're in that situation. The provision that God is preparing for the coming wilderness is miracles, just as it was in the Exodus. This is God's plan. He wants his people to live by faith. He wants them to see miracles. He is going to pour out the latter rain so that they both see miracles at the hands of the man-child and then do them themselves, right? And, you know, when Israel was leaving Egypt, the Egyptian system provided them with riches, as we see in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. Moses here represents the man-child, David. And they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. So maybe this is reflecting those holding gold and silver, or maybe revalued currencies, which is a thing that's happening, land, etc. Things, you know, things that could do people good now but wouldn't do people good a little bit later. I mean, because people are holding on to things that if they hold on to them too long, they won't be worth anything. That's a fact. So store up your treasures in heaven and not on the earth, as Jesus said. But I'm going to repeat that. It says, I believe that this is saying that those holding gold, silver, revalued currencies, and land and other things could make a lot of money in a short term to help ease the fear of some concerning going into the wilderness tribulation. Because in the Exodus, riches eased their fears, but they were quickly diminished because God wanted them to walk by faith and live by miracles, right? Amen. So it's all coming. It's all coming to pass. Somewhere along the line, Deb said that after David said that, he was sort of down on the floor, almost lying on his left side. And she put the verse in here, Ezekiel 4 and 4. Moreover, lie thou upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquity. Well, this sounds very familiar concerning Moses in the wilderness with the Israelites. He bore with their sins in the wilderness. He was tormented by their sins in the wilderness. And of course, they were blaming Moses for the things that God was doing to them. They had to learn the sovereignty of God, right? I went over to encourage David and knelt down and whispered in his non-visibly existent right ear. It's a funny way to say that. That Willard and I had done that concerning the money. And then I stood back up and went to my desk. And that was the end of the revelation. I believe this whispering, this could mean to not tell others that you have money in an economic collapse, which would seem to be a foolish thing to do. But this struck me too, that if it is a revaluation, which is, by the way, Trump has been speaking up on bringing all the currencies to parity. He's a firm believer in that. They could try to save the economy or prop it up somewhat by having a revaluation of these currencies that have very little value compared to America's currency. And, of course, people who have bought into these currencies, could use them. I'm not suggesting that. Our ministry has not bought into any currencies. But some people have told us, you know, that when the revaluation comes, they've told us that the Lord has told them to do this. And when the revaluation comes, that they're going to bless our ministry greatly. Okay, I don't know. I just know that the Lord gave me a vision of himself giving me $1 billion to provide for his people in the refuge. And I believe him 100%. So if it is a revaluation, you have to sign a paper that you won't tell others where the money came from. Isn't that interesting? So that's kind of like a whisper, right? Can't tell you. Can't tell everybody. So that was interesting. The dream, Deb said, was followed by another that I can't recall, but it was about going down a long road in very bright sunlight. And I just found this, Isaiah 33:17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's going to be great freedom, great knowledge, great ability, great power. For God's people to walk in these coming days. It's going to be astounding. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I believe that also in the long road of the tribulation, there will be much spiritual sun, S-O-N, light. And the man-child will reveal things hidden from the foundation of the world, just as Jesus did. And will send forth this knowledge through the witnesses, just like Jesus did. And in the same text that describes the man-child ministry that I quoted, You know, Isaiah chapter 11, here's a verse a little further down, Isaiah 11 and 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. In other words, it'll be cleansed. Zion will be cleansed. There'll be no wickedness there. And that's, of course, what the faction thing is all about, is cleansing Zion of those people who can give in to, you know, false accusations, paranoia, sin, etc., etc., other sins. They will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. There's this light, this wonderful sun light, as the waters cover the sea. Now, how completely do the waters cover the sea? You know, completely, right? Well, this knowledge is going to be everywhere. And guess what? Just as in the man-child's ministry before his anointing, this knowledge and these truths have angered the forces of darkness, who will use anybody they can to destroy it, to destroy its ministry, its reputation, its books, its tapes, its anything that puts out that knowledge. They will do anything to destroy this or bring it to disrepute. That's how you know the devil's advocates, right? And they are trying right now, but they will fail miserably. They're going to fail. It's all a part of crucifying the man-child and getting him prepared for that anointing to go forth, right? So, isn't it interesting that at this time we received from Anna Stewart a dream she had on 7/4/17. We called it Satanic Faction Against the Man-Child and Trump. Because there is a parallel, a beautiful parallel the Lord has pointed out to us here. She said, in a short dream, several of us were in my or our house and were being held there by several other people that we knew were Satanists. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, as in the political parallel, the Satanist factious that are against Trump and his supporters, so it is in the spiritual parallel. The Satanist factious are against the man child and the bride, and trying to kill the members of the bride, just as they're out there trying to kill people who stick up for Trump. Have you noticed? So, in this dream, they are holding them captive, and I believe it means to their own standards of lies and slander. They're very self-righteous about their slander. They say it even though they've got no proof. They never do. The news notice gives, you know, reports from people that they won't name, so they can't, you know, basically have no proof. They're trying to get you to accept something on their word, which has been very bad, it's very obvious that you can't believe a word they say, because that's what faction does to people. That is a factious spirit. It is witchcraft. It's been imparted to them because they are in association with the Satanists and the faction that they're spreading throughout the country and the world against anything they don't like. And so, but anyway, they're holding the righteous captive to their own standards and lies and slander, because the demons within them have a hatred for the righteous who destroy their kingdom. Look what Trump's doing in the natural to their kingdom. And look what the man-child's doing in the spiritual to their kingdom. And we're all going down this Red Sea experience here, which I believe will be ended in a few months. And I believe it'll be ended with a bang, so to speak. And Anna said, other than this, I was surprised by how they seemed like normal people. Yeah, that's why they can go out and deceive people, is they know how to speak the language of Christians, even though they're no longer Christians. And they know how to speak grace. They know how to say, I love you. They know how to say all these things, but nothing could be further from the truth. So, the leader was a big black man with a pistol. And I believe this may represent their leadership walks in darkness and tries to enforce Satan's standards on the righteous. Of course, this is a method that God is using to separate those who are not being sanctified, have hidden sins, and so on, from among the people of the bride, and it's working wonderfully. There are some bright and shining congregations of people out there, full of love, not to be tempted to turn against their brethren like the Edomites, right? I wasn't feeling any fear, though, through it all. Well, that's right. You know what? The righteous don't have to fear, do they? It's the wicked that have to fear. The people keeping us had a moment when their guard was down, she said, and Blake, that's her brother, escaped out the front door to get help. This made the black guy angry, and he knew it was only a matter of time till the authorities showed up. That sounds like justice at the Red Sea, right? Yeah. Well, it is a short time until the Lord, through the man-child Davids and President Trump, enforce the law of the word on the factious in the political and spiritual realm. David was anointed and conquered the Edomites, those who have the fruit of Esau, who hated his brother and sold his birthrights. And the Red Sea is bringing down the spiritual Edomites in the political and spiritual realms. It's fairly amazing, I think. And Anna said, I wondered if he was going to shoot us all before they got there, even though it wouldn't help him any because he would be caught either way. But I didn't feel afraid. Well, they definitely want to shoot all of the bride. They have attempted desperately to reach out and destroy the bride with their words of slander and faction. They've definitely tried to do that. But they can't. Not the real bride has nothing to worry about, you know, because it's just not going to happen. Righteousness delivereth from death, even spiritual death, right? He didn't harm anyone, though. And that's what I have to say is he can't. They can't harm the real bride. They can only take out those who are not the bride. Those that are among the bride physically, but are just leaven. And they're leavening the body. They're able to take them out. And of course, they're not to be feared by the righteous, because their power is only over the unrighteous to cleanse the kingdom of their presence through faction, which is separation. It's a perfect tool to cut out the leaven. And this test is to cast out the leavened to bring forth the true bride. This is a text that we've received many times. We just received it recently, just days ago, in our morning meeting. Zechariah 13, 7 through 9, I believe. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Well, that's one that certainly, that prophecy's certainly been fulfilled more than once with Jesus, and of course later with the man-child and Trump, which he called Cyrus. The Lord called Cyrus his shepherd, right? So man-child and Trump. And against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, that's happened. And the sheep shall be scattered, that's happened. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones, and that's happened. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Now, we know in the tribulation, a third of the stars of heaven will fall to the earth. But this is something that God's doing in the bride to get the bride ready for the tribulation. Two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part into the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, by faith, at random, I got Job 39, 3 and 4, and my finger was on verse 3. Quote, they cast out their pains, unquote. Job 39 and 3, they bow themselves, they bring forth their young, they cast out their pains. Well, just think about a woman in travail who is about to give birth, and when she gives birth, she just cast out her pains, right? Their young ones become strong. They grow up in the open field. That's the world. They go forth and return not again. That's right. And, of course, the bride is coming out of the larger church, right? And relieving the pain of the mother. Ain't God good? So that leads us to what these people are being prepared to do. And we call this one Highway of Holiness. And it's the Highway of Holiness to Zion. That's where it leads. If a person stays on the highway of holiness, they come to Zion. And Gaynoel Moser received this on February the 11th of 2017. It's very interesting. In this dream, I was walking on a road and felt it was a highway. I was on a portion where it had been built up so the road would be level instead of going up and down with the hills. He's making it level, right? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So I believe that this is representing repentance to the truth. And I believe that is the level highway, which paves the way for the coming of the Lord in one's life. Isaiah 40 and 1 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, that is, the bride, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, because the bride has been warring against these factious slanderers who are trying to capture her with demons. That her iniquity is pardoned, and that she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. All right, the chastenings have gone forth, and the fear of the Lord is a product, and the fruit of the Lord is a product. It's the beginning of wisdom, right? The voice of one that crieth, prepare ye in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Make level in the desert a highway for our God. If you remember, John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness before Jesus was in the wilderness, and before Jesus brought the multitudes into the wilderness. John was bringing them into the wilderness to baptize them unto repentance, right? So Elijah, or John the Baptist, repentance ministry is what's being spoken about here. Every valley shall be exalted, in other words, exalting the humble. And every mountain and hill shall be made low, meaning debasing the proud. And the uneven shall be made level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, glory. This is awesome. So, the repentance is going to prepare the way for the coming of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Without repentance, the road is not made level, and the going is tough. The glory of the Lord being revealed is that glory that we talk about when we speak about the gospel, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Not only that, but the man-child is going to be anointed and manifested in signs and wonders and miracles and holiness to reveal the glory of the Lord. And all flesh shall see it together. Yes, it's going to cover the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. And from the right, there were a number of children running from a brown pasture to get on this road. Yep, I believe the brown pasture is chastened flesh, because we know that Peter said all flesh is as grass, and he says it withereth and it dieth, and it's talking about the flesh. So when people begin to repent and they're on that road, it's like coming out of that brown pasture, I believe. And it reminded me of Isaiah 26 from 8 through 10. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. You know, there were people waiting for Jesus to show up. They were waiting for the man-child to show up. And they were prepared to listen. And Jesus, of course, went out and pointed them out. You, and you, come follow me, you know. He knew exactly who they were. But in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee, to thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. What causes a person to desire The name, the nature, character, and authority of Jesus. Well, it would be those hard things that you go through in life that make you very careful towards the Lord and want to be pleasing unto Him and to abide under the blood covering and so on. And is the desire of these people's soul. And, you know, the Lord is coming to set the captives free. That is not the people that don't desire. It's the people that desire it. But they don't necessarily know what they need. And the Lord is going to, you know, confirm the real gospel to them. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Amen. That's what it's going to take, friends. Sad to say, but it's always true. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Well, that's what we just spoke about, right? That the revelation of the glory of the Lord would come, right? They will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Who didn't behold the majesty of the Lord? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people that were satisfied. They weren't hungry. They weren't hungry for righteousness. They already thought they were righteous, basically because of what they knew and the kind of clothes that they wore and all these kind of goofy things that make people feel justified. But they wouldn't touch it with one of their little fingers, right? But when chastening comes, any of those that are drawn of the Lord, they do come. If you got chastening, don't get mad at God. He knows what he's doing. Just repent of everything you can think of. And especially unforgiveness and criticism of others. And trust in the Lord then. Believe the gospel, the good news, right? And Gainold said, they seemed happy and in a hurry to get on this road. Like they didn't want to miss it. Well, amen. There is a strong feeling like, and a strong word in the scriptures about people missing it. You know, the Edomites, the Esau's missing it. The Ishmaelites missing it. The stars of the heaven falling to the earth. A great falling away is happening and going to happen. God will redeem some from captivity. That's the word of God. There, right now, there are many in Babylonish captivity to dead false religion, a false Jesus, so on and so forth. But yet, that's what the Lord's coming to set the people free. Some will never come out, just like among the Pharisees. There were those that never repented and never came to the Lord. They were too self-righteous. They didn't need a Savior. But there are people that know they need a Savior and they want to please God. They just don't have the tools yet. But they will. In places, a lot of dirt had been moved in. She said possibly, meaning grounded in the truth, raised up. The Lord's ways are higher than the world's ways. Yes, I agree with that. Also, exalting the humble, because every valley shall be exalted. All of the humble shall be exalted, and all of the proudful will be put down. And she said the children were dressed in pioneer-style clothes, not the styles of today. And Gainold's thought was they knew the truth of God's word from the beginning and not the word so many hear today. Well, that's true. To abide in Christ, You must have that in you which you heard from the beginning, not the religions of today. These are false. They're deceptive. That's the devil's kingdom, attempting to sidetrack God's people and lead them away from what bears fruit. There's only one thing that bears the fruit of Jesus Christ, and that is the Word of God. Therefore, we have to go back to that which we heard from the beginning in order to bear that fruit. It's very necessary. Because very few churches out there are reflecting any of this. And just as every denomination that Jesus came to did not receive him, nor would any do it today, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So, what we have to do is get back to the Word. Jesus constantly rebuked the leadership of Judaism because they made of no effect the Word of God by their traditions. They were killing people. And even today, it's the same thing. They pass on their traditions. They have spent no time in the Word seeking for the truth, and therefore the only truth that they received was from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that's not the truth. So it can't bear fruit. And so you can bear fruit unto self-righteousness like they did, because that was what was passed on to them, and that's the spirit that was sown in them. And so it is today. Like I said, not one denomination followed Jesus. Individuals followed Jesus out of the denominations. And that's what Ecclesia, the church, the called out ones, is speaking about. It's not talking about those that are stuck in their dead denominations. It's talking about those who come out from among them and be separate, just like in Jesus' day. And, you know, they had on these pioneer-style clothes. And we're to put on the works of the original Jesus Christ, not religion. And Romans 13:11 says, And this knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. What is he saying? Nearer to us? We're saved. We're saved by faith. But the manifestation of that salvation is the bearing of the fruit of Jesus Christ. And we're closer to that than when we first believed, or we should be. And the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us, in other words, you're running out of time. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, in other words, the clothing, right? And let us put on the armor of light, the clothing of Christ, right? He was the light. He is the light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness. In other words, being out of touch with reality, as known by the Spirit of God. Not in chambering and wantonness. In other words, not just living after the lusts of your flesh. Not in strife and jealousy, as of course the faction are. And they're wasting time. Some of them have been in that for years. And they have no forgiveness from God. They've got no power from God. They've got no faith in God. They just talk God. But they got none of it, you know. So, again, he's saying, look, the day is at hand. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Give it up. Give up your judgment of others. Look in the mirror. Find out who the sinner is and start believing in Jesus in the mirror, right? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. People just do what they want to do. But we need to wake up in the morning asking God, what is it you want me to do today, Lord? I want to be your disciple. I want to be your learner and follower. Amen. There was an approach that would make entry to this road easier. And there were some young teenage boys that were grooming this area with rakes and shovels. They were trying to make the entrance easy for the people to enter. They were doing hands-on work. They were making sure there was proper drainage and raking rocks from the path. And, of course, she said this may represent deliverance and removing stumbling blocks. Yes, I agree. That's exactly what it's all about. Matthew 13 and 41 says, "And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, out of his kingdom, all that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity." Things wasn't in the original. It's talking about people, gathering them out because they are causing stumbling. That is the factious. And they are not walking in the kingdom of God. That's a fact. And also Isaiah 62 and 10 through 12 says, Go through the gates. And I believe this is speaking of Zion, the bride city. Prepare ye the way of the people. So that's what these young men are doing. Cast up the highway. Again, that's what they were doing, right? Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. That's what they were doing. Lift up an ensign for the peoples. Amen. Show them the way, right? Here it is. We're preparing the way here, right? Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Yes, he is going to reward the righteous as he comes in the man-child, and he's going to chasten the wicked. And his recompense before him. There's a judgment coming before the pre-trib coming of the Lord. And of course, people think that he's coming to cause people to fly away, but that's not true. This is the truth. Thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward. See, he is the salvation, right? Behold, his reward is with him. He's going to reward those who have struggled. And he's going to take care of the bride. Comfort ye, my people, she said, right? He said, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. The wicked are going to be judged. The Red Sea is his recompense. And the party on the other side is his reward. They were free of all bondage. They were free of bondage to the old man. They were free of their persecutors. They were free of the factious. They were free of enemies. The Red Sea took them down. It didn't even leave one, the Bible says in Psalms. See, the Lord is able to do this. He has myriads of angels who are just at his call. They change things on the earth suddenly. Just as we have seen very much the demonic hordes change thing on the earth suddenly, the Lord is going to take down every enemy at the Red Sea. That's what it represents. And that's good news. because Isaiah 61, to set the captives free and open the prison to them that are bound, right, is going to be fulfilled. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Yes, Zion will be sought out for different reasons. Some will be in Zion, like the bride, and some will be beneath Zion, as the rest of Israel was. And underneath David, who ruled in Zion, a city not forsaken. You know, the city has been forsaken by the leadership, who have been taken captive to Babylon, because they rebelled against the Lord and against His word and against His prophets. The city was forsaken. And when it says the city is forsaken, that's talking about because the people have been taken captive to Babylon. But there is a city that's being born again from above. It's not the carnal city. The carnal city is still forsaken. It's in bondage with her children, Paul said. Okay, but there is a city that's born again from above that'll never be in bondage to any children. It's a born again bride coming down out of heaven. No, not at the end of the tribulation period. It's coming down now. It was coming down as it was spoken in Revelation 3. The Philadelphia church is a revelation of that. It's the city of love, not the city of hatred and slander and all these other things. Selfish ambition, so on. I heard other adults commenting about the character of these boys. They were being well spoken of. They were honest, hardworking, reliable, trustworthy. They were respected by adults and children alike. John said in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Now there's two ministries there in the Spirit. They will be manifested in the Spirit. You know, in the Spirit, John the Baptist was Elijah. So in the Spirit, these will be manifested. And John was saying that his ministry was going to, that Jesus' ministry would increase and his would decrease, right? The John the Baptist spirit of repentance will make way for the man-child ministry. By the way, let me point out to you that they both preached repentance in the same words. And the purpose of this is so that Jesus can be heard. Without repentance, you won't hear him. The Pharisees didn't hear him. Listen to what John the Baptist and then Jesus said. Matthew 3:1, And in those days cometh John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, quote, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'll repeat that. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 3, For this is he that was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ye ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Okay, now go on down to 4:17, Matthew 4:17, where we see what Jesus had to say. From that time began Jesus to preach and to say, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh my gosh, the same exact words of John the Baptist. So where John was leaving off, Jesus was coming in, you see. It was a smooth transition. So, the spirit of repentance is going to follow through until and into the ministry of the man-child. You see that? repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when John said that he had to decrease so that Jesus would increase, that's what he meant. Is this happening? I believe so. I believe it is happening. People are looking for it in a carnal way, but I believe it's happening. And Gainold said, some of the children were entering the highway by way of the approach. In other words, the stones out of the way, everything prepared, you know, the level way. They were entering by the way of the approach, while others were trying to run up the steep bank and were having much difficulty and couldn't make it. Well, they weren't in the way that was laid down. Jesus said, I am the way. If we become disciples of Jesus, we're in the way. We're learners and followers. We're watching him. You don't know what repentance is until you study the Word of God. People think repentance is just that thing that they did when they first came to Jesus. No, repentance is something that you do whenever you come to the Jesus of the Word, constantly. Repentance leads to the glory of God. It's the way to the glory of God. Without repentance, I mean, you can sit in a church under a preacher that hasn't repented and you won't repent either. You need to sit under the Bible. let those preachers of repentance, you know, get into your soul. So they couldn't make it. This differentiates the true ministers and the false. And Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 10. In verse 1 he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, there it is, that's the way that was prepared, right? The door into the sheep, into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So we have to be prepared to enter the ministry, and believe it or not, Bible colleges aren't the way. They weren't in Jesus' day either. Jesus, the Word of God, raised up his ministers. So they're climbing up some other way, and they can't make it. That's what he said. They wouldn't come down the way, and they tried to run up the bank and couldn't make it. He said they're thieves and robbers. They want a shortcut. There is no shortcut. He that overcometh will I give authority, the Lord said. There's no shortcut. You have to repent. You have to go down the way, down the path of repentance. There's no shortcuts. You can go to Bible school, and in 2 or 3 years you can, you know, be a preacher if you want, but you'll just be a Pharisee. Those people who were among the Pharisees that listened to Jesus and knew who he was, they had to give that up and come out from among them like the Apostle Paul did. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Of course, we know Jesus says he is the door a little further down in this text. You got to come through Jesus. You can't come through a Bible school. The Pharisees came through their Bible school. That didn't make them ministers of God. You have to come through Jesus. To him the porter openeth. I believe the porter is the Holy Spirit. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And he leadeth them out. Leadeth them out. He doesn't care for the sheepfold. Not as made by the Pharisees, right? He leadeth them out. This is what ecclesia means, the church, the called out ones. They are not the religions. They are what is coming out of the religions. They are being born of the woman. They're giving pain to the woman. They're coming out from among them. The first fruits to completely do this by the grace of God and not by the works of man is the man child. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. And when he hath put forth all of his own, well, he didn't say he put forth everybody that was in there. He put forth all that was his own. Because there's a lot of people in there that are like those Pharisees and Sadducees and the people that worshiped them. They're never going to come out. They'll die there. He goeth before them. Oh, kind of like Moses in the wilderness, right? Yeah, because they had to go forth out of the city suffering his reproach, the Bible says. Which was what? Well, outside the city is where he was crucified, right? We suffer his reproach because we too are crucified by these same people. They're still with us. They've been with us all the way through the Bible. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, like we were speaking about a few minutes ago. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus therefore said unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We have to go through Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. You can't make up any religion out there. It's worthless. All of them are worthless. It's the Word that counts. Any group of Christians or any leadership that teaches anything but the Word, they're destroying people because they're running the clock out. The very time that we have left, as we spoke earlier, to manifest Christ and to miss this great falling away. Many people are distracted by the world and they're falling away. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture. That means these people are free. They can go in and they can go out. They can go into the sheepfold and they can come out of it. Don't go back there until the Lord sends you. If you do, you can get captured right back into it. I've seen it. I've seen this principle over and over. These people who the Lord sets free are free indeed. They can go in and out. They're not impressed with the system, and neither can they be impressed with the system. They can go in and out and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. See, there's many out there that are seeking selfish ambition. They're seeking to be promoted in the kingdom. They have a selfish desire to rule over others, and they figure Christianity is the way for them to come there. So they emulate a bunch of Pharisees and become just like them, which is what Jesus told the Pharisees. They stood in the door, they wouldn't enter in, and they wouldn't let the others enter in. And of course, who is it that rails against Christ the most? It's the trained professional leadership of Christianity, just like it was among the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they really come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. You know who the evil shepherds are? They plunder the sheep. All they want is the ego of being a ruler over the sheep. All they want is their tithes from the sheep. All they want is selfish ambition. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholdeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf snatcheth them and scattereth them. You know, they get mad at the sheep because the wolf came and got them. You know, when it was their job to help those that are God's people. He fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine own, and mine own know me. Look, any shepherd that the good shepherd makes will be a good shepherd, and they will come through the door. Gainold said, in my spirit I was hearing, quote, highway to holiness, unquote. This highway that was being built and being smoothed out, raised up and lowered in necessary places, so on and so forth. I felt the Lord was speaking the scriptures in Isaiah 35 and 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now the way of holiness is the same word as sanctification. The way of holiness is separation from the world and its ways by being a disciple of the Word. That's what it is. It shall be called the way of holiness, obeying the Word, all of the Word, even the Word that they exclude from their vocabulary. And they exclude it because they're sinners and they want to justify their own ways. And, of course, they're making disciples who are sinners justifying their own ways, right? It shall be called the way of holiness. If you're not on this way of holiness, humbling yourself to the Word of God, you will not come to Zion, either as your new leadership or as a position in the bride. The unclean shall not pass over. No, the unclean don't want to give up their sins. Those who want to give up their sins, they will know the truth and they will be set free. But it shall be for the redeemed. Amen. A redeemed, of course, is someone who was in bondage, who the price had been paid to set them free. What is that? That's the gospel. And yet the church doesn't know the gospel and they don't know what faith is. So how can you use the gospel if you don't have any faith? But it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring man, which means the traveler on a well-traveled road, you would call this the broad road. The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. If you want the broad road, you're not on the narrow road. The narrow road is the one that leads to life. It's narrow because the Word of God narrows it down. Okay, so, but I added the rest of this text in here, verse 9 on down. No lion shall be there. What is that? On the highway of holiness, the beasts that devour are not there. Nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. You're not going to be devoured when you're walking on holiness, right? They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. So the way of holiness or sanctification is the protection from the beast that seeks to devour God's people. And the ransomed of the Lord, that is those who accepted the price paid for their freedom from captivity, right? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. What does it mean, return? Well, they've been taken into captivity to Babylon, which represents apostate religion and the beast, right? And remember, the harlot rides the beast. They're one entity, right? So, those who are redeemed will return to their spiritual leadership, the bride, Zion, or they will return to the position of the bride who is in Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Everlasting joy. Great joy was celebrated on the other side of the Red Sea. Great joy when God's people returned to Zion in the natural. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, amen, amen. Good news, isn't it? Comforting. And Gainold gives this verse too, Proverbs 16 and 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Yes. Yes. The way of holiness is to depart from evil. You can justify it. You will not grow up in God. You will not be putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be a disciple of Jesus. And there's a falling away coming. And basically, there's been a falling away for some time now of those who aspired to be in the bride or hanging out around the bride. There's a falling away of them. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth this way, his way, preserveth his soul. Well, amen to that. And Gainold said, I felt this dream was representing a time of revival. I do too. I mean, we can see it in the joy, the gladness and the joy, and the sorrow and the sighing fleeing away. Our wonderful revival is coming, saints. Be patient and be on the road of holiness, the highway of holiness. She said, those young in the Lord were eager to get on this road. Well, I know what causes that, and it is chastenings, it is troubles, it is trials, it's tribulations that turns people back to the Lord. They were eager to get on this road. In my spirit, I felt that some of the children were our children and grandchildren, and some were from other families, believing for household salvation. What an encouragement. You know, the great revival will begin. And that's why God is purifying a man-child and a bride for his purposes. Remember what John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And who was this? It was Jesus, the man-child, and those that were being raised up in the first fruits of the bride. Of course, the man child was the first fruits, but then there's the first fruits unto the man child, which is the bride. So the great revival will begin, and multitudes will be delivered from religious and beast bondage to come to Zion, their spiritual capital city, right? Amen. So we got to get ready, saints. Got to stay on the highway of holiness and not be led astray. So listen to this text, see how it reflects exactly what Gainold is saying here. Isaiah 49, 1 on down, it says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother." Could it be a man-child is getting ready to start the ministry, right? "From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword." Amen. What is that sharp sword? Hebrews 4:12. It's the word of God. If a person will speak according to the word of God, in time with the Lord himself, and for no selfish motives, as men do, it'll be a two-edged sword. "He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. And he hath made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he kept me close." Amen. "And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, Israel." Now, when you see Israel, see the church. They were the Old Testament church, the called of God. And, of course, the church is the same. They are the called of God. Not necessarily that they're all going to be chosen, but they're called. And we have to, of course, make our calling and election sure. "For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom." And he was talking all of that time to the people of God. Oh my. "Thou art my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." The Lord is going to be manifested in a glorious church. And in a bride without spot and wrinkle. "In whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." Yes, the Lord has called a people. He's going to sanctify them through chastening and through grace of the Word of God, and he's going to be glorified in them. And my recompense is with God. The Lord is going to repay. That's what he says. And we've already spoken about that, how that this justice is going to go before the Lord in judgment. And even now it's taking down the wicked, turning them over to corruption. But worse is coming. The Red Sea is coming. And, of course, his reward is with him. "And now, saith the Lord,
that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him, for I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God is become my strength. Well, amen. Isaiah was a type of the man-child who came out of apostate Israel, which is the apostate church. And Israel will be gathered unto him, and God will be his strength. Yea, he saith, it is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. See, not just little Israel now, since the body of Christ is much larger than that, it's to the ends of the earth, to bring in all of his tribes, his spiritual tribes, right? Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness, your grace that you show to your people. Amen. And verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. Isn't it something that the nation of Israel would abhor their Savior? No matter who he speaks out of, right? Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, they've abhorred the word of the Lord. You know, people come to church and they study the word. And of course, the preachers teach them how that they don't have to obey this word or that word. These all passed away. And when they have a respect for man, which is what a religious spirit puts into them, and then they go back and read the word and it confuses them. They felt that confusion in them. The first thing they do is put down the word and keep following the preacher. And so they're become twice dead and plucked up by the roots. To him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, even the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. Amen. The Holy One of Israel has chosen those who bear fruit, who turn to him, who make their calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, he says. Amen. Has chosen thee. Remember, the Lord is choosing the fruit. He doesn't come, he's not coming to pick up the seed which has been sown in the heart. He's coming to pick up the fruit. He's not coming to pick up the plant, the natural man. He's coming to pick up the fruit. The old man must pass away. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. Now we're coming to this acceptable time. In an acceptable time have I answered thee. Many are calling upon the Lord. Many want holiness. Many want righteousness. And their flesh is fighting against them. And the Lord says, in an acceptable time have I answered thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. See, it's God in you. It's not you overcoming the world. It's God in you overcoming the world, right? And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to raise up the land. In other words, to those that are humble, to exalt them, to raise up the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. That's the true inheritance of God's people, which has been departed from because they've been taken captive to the beast in Babylon. You know, Babylon, mystery religion, mother of the harlots, plural, of the earth. Everybody points out the mother, but God's pointing out the daughters of the mother, those that came out of the mother, the institutions of men that came out of the mother harlot, right? The mother harlot is the corporate body, and all the children are those harlots. Saying to them that are bound, go forth. See, in an acceptable day, in a day of salvation, the Lord is going to set the captives free. That starts with the man-child ministry. Just like it did in Isaiah 61, Jesus spoke of that in Luke chapter 4. He quoted it, saying to them that are bound, go forth, and to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. People are hiding in darkness. They want to be accepted the way they are, so they hide those things that are not acceptable among Christians. Well, that's a dangerous thing to do, because if you don't show any ambition when the gospel is shown to you, to confess your sins and to forsake them and to follow after the Lord, He has ways of routing you out. That's what we've been speaking of. They shall feed in the ways, and on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. In other words, those who are humble to the word don't need chastening, right? For he that hath mercy on them will lead them. He's having mercy. Yes, they're in captivity, but he's having mercy. He's redeeming them from the house of bondage. Even by springs of water will he guide them. You know, there's a joy when you come into the real word. It's a bondage when thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that, you hear over the pulpit, you know. It's a joy when you know that the Lord Himself is going to make it possible by His grace in your heart through your faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And He's going to lead them by springs of water. The Word of God will He guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Lo, these shall come from far. In other words, to bondage. God's people are taken into bondage to different beast nations out there. And he says, come out from among them. Go back to your promised land. These shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, which is the east, right? Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have compassion upon his afflicted. Yes, he's afflicted them, he is chastened them, and he is getting them ready to receive the Lord through repentance. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth from thee. That's a good word. You who have been persecuted by the factious, tried to make you stumble, the demons in them, tormenting you with demon spirits, with witchcraft, etc. It's both the beast and the Edomites that are trying to destroy the people of God. In the world, it's the beast. The Edomites are those who are sons of Abraham and hiding out among the righteous. But the sons of perdition are going to be revealed by the falling away. When they fall away from the word, they always begin to persecute the righteous. When Judas fell away, he caused Jesus to go to the cross. They'll go forth from thee. That's a Red Sea experience there if I ever saw one. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament. And gird thyself with them as a bride. Amen. For as for thy waste and thy desolate places, and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants. And they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. In other words, when a person's eye is to go to Zion, their heart is to go to Zion, the people around them who swallowed them up don't want anything to do with them. The children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. In other words, I've had enough of this. I'm coming out of Babylonish captivity, and I'm coming to you, Lord. And that's Zion. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these? Speaking of Zion, of course. In other words, where did all these come from? Right? Seeing I have been bereaved of my children. Because as we know, people who thought to be a part of Zion fell away and were taken into captivity. And now we're seeing... The bride understands this. She's already been through this. But now, here comes this multitude. Because now the bride is glorious in her apparel. Because the leaven has been removed. And here come the multitudes. The bride has been raised up to be a mother to the church. Amen. And am solitary, an exile. Yeah, basically exiled from the church itself. And wandering to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? Well, the Lord was preparing them. But not until the bride is ready and sanctified can he bring them, right? So, she was bereaved of her children. They died because of sin. They departed. And now God has this great multitude coming, because now the bride is sanctified. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. So at this time of salvation that the Lord is going to bring the multitudes. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. I do believe that Trump and his wife are being groomed to be just this. You remember how Cyrus was to the church about rebuilding their capital city, their house of God. And they shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. Some people get tired. They even get angry when the Lord doesn't do things on their time, right? And of course, the Lord's given us many, many signs and revelations along the way to encourage us that these things are coming. But no man knoweth the day or the hour. And we are encouraged of what the Lord's going to do. And we know so much more today about what the Lord is going to do than we did sometime back. And if you're patiently waiting on the Lord, you will not be put to shame. That's what he says. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Yes. They'll be delivered from captivity, Babylonish captivity, faction captivity. Or the lawful captives be delivered? In other words, they're lawfully under the curse. They're lawfully in bondage because of their sins. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? Yes, by the mercy of God. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Like taken away from Egyptian captivity? Like taken away from Babylonian captivity? Like taken away from faction captivity? Yes. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. And I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood. This is a Red Sea thing.
This is the recompense that comes before the Lord. As with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior. They may not be able to do anything about it. All flesh is in captivity to the beast, right? But the Lord can do something about it. And he's raising up a bright, shining people that will be lights in darkness for these people to run to. And I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Oh, hallelujah. How awesome is our God, right? Well, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this message, and thank you for your goodness that you've shown to your people. Thank you for putting a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in your people. Thank you for granting repentance. We're not worthy of your grace. Lord, we're all coming out of captivity. We know it's by your mercy, Lord, that you turn our hearts. As the bride said, draw me and we will run after thee. We know it is your drawing, Lord. No one comes under the sun except the Father draws. So, Father, thank you for your mercy. Lord, open our understanding so that we may know the hope of your calling. What it is that you've drawn us to you for. Thank you, our Father. Lord, your church is in much darkness. They don't know or believe that your plan is to manifest Christ in each and every one. They believe that the best that they can hope for is just forgiveness. They've been told that by false teachers. But you said unto all the fullness of God. And Lord, we just ask that your revelation get out so that the people be set free from bondage. And understand the lies that they've been told. And have the joy of reading your book. In many cases, for the first time. And once they get this revelation, when they start reading your book, it's a joy. Because they're constantly looking for truth. Constantly looking. And enjoying the truth that they see. Lord, that's what we pray for your people today, that you will do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, thank you for joining us today, saints, and God love you. And keep us in your prayers, too, because we love you, too. Amen. All right, good night, and God bless you.